الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونسلم ونصلي على نبينا محمد وعلى آله. A few moments ago we were looking at the sharh of the Sheikh Al-Allama Sheikh Rabi' Al-Madkhali Hafizahullah. We were reading something of it because of the tremendous benefit found in his sharh. And we mentioned what he said about adhering in his explanation of following the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to this when he said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin." We said that "Alaykum" is one of the expressions that indicate compulsion. And so Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually commanding the believers to stick to the sunnah. Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ حَدِيثٌ, and likewise the hadith about the فِرْقَةِ النَّاجِيَةِ, the successful group. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this ummah shall be divided into 73 different groups, all of them in the fire except one, they said, "Man he? Who is it?" He said, "What I am upon and my companions." This particular narration was considered as hasan by Shaykh Nasir rahimahullahu ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the successful group, he pointed out that that group are those individuals who adhere to what I'm upon and what my companions are upon. And that is the yardstick that distinguishes the group of the people on the sunnah and those off of the sunnah. Is that a video camera? Okay, barakallahu fi. Yeah. Also, one of the other indications is in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "I have left you on the clear path. Layluha kanahariha. It's day, it's night, it's like it's day." This is in its brilliance and its clarity. "La yazighu anha illa halik. Anyone who goes away from it except that he's destroyed." When we speak about adhering to the Qur'an, adhering to the sunnah, it's not a simple matter, "Well, you know, I feel like it and there's nothing wrong." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed out that the consequence of not doing so is destruction. The consequence is destruction. So any person who has some sense doesn't want to be destroyed. He wants to be saved. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam points out how this is to be done. The Shaykh says, فَالصَّحَابَةُ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. The Sahaba adhere to it. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ فِيهِمْ هَالِكَ. We don't find any from amongst them that have been destroyed. InshaAllah, left a path and been destroyed. وَزَّادَ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ. However, some people went astray after them. يعني في آخر عصر الصحابة, during the last time of the generation of the companions, some people did that. وَكَذَلَكْ فِي أَوْصَابْ عُهُودِ التَّابِعِينَ. And during the middle part of the period of the tabi'een, he said, ثُمَّ انْتَشَرَتِ الْبِدَعُ. And then innovation started to spread. فبدت فرقة الخوارج, the group of the Khawarij. These are the Khawarij, those are the ones who fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Sahaba. And Ibn Abbas was sent by Ali ibn Abi Talib to discuss with some of them, and he did so, and many of them repented and came over with Ali. They have different names for them. Some of them, because they came to a place known as Harura, they were called Al-Hururiya. Some of them, because they said to Ali that you, yani shakakta, you are doubtful about your leadership, they are called Shakakiya. Also, because of their khuruj, they are called Khawarij. Because of their rebellion against Ali, they are called the Khawarij. They have other names for them also. But these people, the Shaykh said, this group appeared. And then we had the Rawafid al-Ghulat. The Akhir Khilafati Ali radiallahu anhu. Then the Rawafid, those who rejected, yani Rafada, Imamat al-Shaykhain, who rejected the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar. Because of this, yani Rafada, they are called Rawafid, or those who rejected the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar. Those are the Shia. Alright? The Shaykh said, فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِبْنَ عَبَّاسٍ لِيُنَاذِرَهُمْ. So Ali ibn Abi Talib chose Ibn Abbas to go and discuss with them. So he did this. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. After that, then they took their swords out against the Muslims. فَقَتَلَهُمْ. And they started to kill the Muslims. And Ali actually fought them, as the Prophet ﷺ commanded that this be done. وَأَجْمَعَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي عَهْدِهِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And the companions agreed with this position. There was no difference amongst them. وَلَمْ يُخَالِفْ فِي ذَلِكَ أَحَدٌ. وَلَمْ يُخَالِفْ, who? يعني Ali, no one disagreed with him concerning his position with the Khawarij, that they should be fought against. يعني to stop their fitna in the land. And there was no yani disagreement amongst them. He said, what is to be looked at as shahid? And al-iqtida bi-sahaba fihi najah. What is to be looked at is to that following the companions is success. Huwa safinatun najah. And it is the ship of success. لِأَنَّهُمْ شَاهَدُوا نُزُولَ الْوَحِيِّ. Because they witnessed the coming down of revelation. وَتَلَقَّوْا فِقَّ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَتَتْبِيقَ ذَلَكْ مِنُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And they actually got the understanding of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And how it is to be applied from Allah's Messenger. You know, look, you can understand something up here. Right? I understand that, but how does it work? They understood it and they understood the application of it. And that system aside, as the Shaykh points out, Hafidhahullah, yani they were on this. فَهُمَ الْقُدْوَةِ. They are the example. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, what I am upon and my companions. And also he said, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa. Tayyib. Those are some of the statements of the Shaykh, Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahullah, concerning this part of Usul Sunnah. Imam Ahmad, Rahimahullah, yani in this short, these few statements of his, it's like what we find in the books of the Salaf, yani the expressions are few, but the meanings are vast. You know, when he says, look, the foundation of the Sunnah, the basis of the Sunnah, is that you do such and such, it's an indication that if you don't have it, you have no foundation. You have no foundation. You call yourself what you want to call it. But if you're not, if you don't have these in place, then you're misguided. He says, in this area here, al-iqtida'u bihim, following them. And then, He went on and he mentioned the tarkul bid'ah and leaving off innovations. And this is very important, yani leaving off innovations. As innovations, when we speak about innovations, we're talking about innovations in your acts of worship, innovations in your creed. Those things that we should be careful about what we do, how we believe, how we worship, and just stay away from adding anything to this religion. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, when he speaks about bid'ah, he does this in his sharh of Lum'at al-I'tiqad. He says, al-bid'ah ma uhditha fi al-deen ala khilaf ma kana alayhi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَأَصْحَابُهُ مِنْ عَقِيدَةٍ وَعَمَلٍ. He said, bid'ah is what has been introduced into the religion in opposition to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon and his companions in terms of aqidah and actions. So some people, when they hear the word bid'ah, when you start to say, look, you should stay away from innovations in deen. They say, well, you mean I can ride a camel then to school? You say, we can't do nothing new? Why? You mean a car is bad? Are you telling us that we got to ride a camel because the Prophet ﷺ rode a camel? That's because they don't understand what is meant when bid'ah is spoken about. We're talking about things of the religion, of your ibadat, your acts of worship, of your creed. It ain't a part of your creed to ride no camel. That's not a part of it. That doesn't even come into discussion whether you go on a plane or you ride a car or bicycle. None of that's going to get you in paradise. But if you deviate in your ibadat and your aqidah, then you're playing with the flames. And this is the area that is being focused on when we're talking about innovations. This religion of ours. You don't add anything to it. Anything. Someone comes to you and says, look, I am going to pray like this and you can't stop me from doing so. You have to show me some evidence that I can't do that. This person has no understanding because he is placing himself in the position of a law he's legislating for himself. If he was a Muslim, he would understand that legislation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Ahlul Ilm says, Al-aslu fil ibadah al-mana'. The principle in respect to acts of worship is that you do nothing without the text. Nothing. And if you have a text, then you have to now refer it back to that generation to see how they put it into practice. Because you may have a general text, have one understanding, and look at the practice of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions and come out with a different understanding. Don't you know the Prophet ﷺ encouraged or spoke about the hands being raised in dua, right? A person now comes, they're doing some of the masjid after the prayer. They turn around in the congregation, Al-Fatiha. And everybody raised their hands and they start supplicating. Was this done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even once? Is there any hadith that says that this was done fabricated even? None. Yet people do it. Why? They say, well, you know, the Prophet ﷺ spoke good about dua, spoke good about raising your hands, and Fatiha is the greatest chapter in the Quran, so let's put it to practice. The problem here is they never even checked to see, was this done during the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Was this a part of ibadah that they put into practice? So that we could implement it? They didn't do that. And the danger comes in then that you just don't take the general text. You have to see the specific way in which the text was applied in order to be free of innovations. For most innovations, you have some general text that people use. Where they go wrong is disregarding the practice of the Salaf. The Sahaba with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did they apply the text? And that's where the difference in manahij come in. The difference in the methodology from the people on the sunnah, from amongst the salaf, and the people of innovations. Here, we have a narration. This particular narration that we're quoting, we're going to quote the narration from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. This narration has a chain. The people, a sound in the chain. Except Abdul Rahman ibn Amr and Hajar ibn Hajar, but both of them are narrating the same thing, so they strengthen one another, which means the sound, the narration is sound. The narration is something like this from Imam Ahmad. He says, Hadathana Walid ibn Muslim. Walid ibn Muslim, he is trustworthy, but he is considered a mudallis. What is this? That means that sometimes in different types of tadlis or any this thing that people do where they say, person said, and you get the feeling that he heard it said directly from the person, but there was someone in between. That's one type. There are different types. Anyway, this person had some problems. But what he does in this whole chain, it says, hadathana, 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 I heard, it was narrated to us, all the way back to the companion. So you have no problem with that. Walid ibn Muslim, he says, حَدَثَنَا ثَوْرَ بِنْ يَزِيدِ ثَوْرَ بِنْ يَزِيدِ Abu Khalid al-Hamsi is considered a trustworthy person, just like his sheikh. just like Walid ibn Muslim. Alright? And he narrates to us, he says, حَدَثَنَا خَالِد ibn Ma'adan. Khalid ibn Ma'adan. Khalid ibn Ma'adan, Abu Abdullah al-Himsi also, يعني his narrations are sound. He says, حَدَثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنْ عَمْرِ الشَّامِيَ السُّلَمِي, sorry, وَحَجُرِ بِنْ حَجَرِ قَالَ, both of them said, both of them narrated to him. They support one another. Said, أَتَيْنَا عِرْبَاد ibn Sariya. We came to عِرْبَاد ibn Sariya. وَهُوَ مِمَّنْ نَزَلَ فِيهِ وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلُهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. This verse was revealed concerning him and some other companions who came. The verse says, and it is not upon those that come to you so that you may give them some mount to ride and participate in this campaign, that you say to them, I find nothing that I can give you to ride. They wanted to participate in the ghazwa. Alright? And they turned away in tears because they had nothing that they could use to ride as a mount. This verse was revealed in respect to Arbad ibn Sariya and his companions. They said, فَسَلَّمْنَا, we said, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَقُلْنَا, we said to him, أَتَيْنَكَ زَائِرَيْنَ عَائِدَيْنَ مُقْتَبِسَيْنَ. We came to you as guests, visitors, and seeking some knowledge. وَقَالِ عُرْبَاد صَلَّى بِنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. عُرْبَاد said, the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ prayed with us. He prayed with us, الصُبْحَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. الصُبْحَ that yawmik, the morning prayer on that day. ثم أقبل علينا. And then he turned towards us. فوعدنا. And then he admonished us. موعيدة بليغة. A real eloquent admonition. ذرفت منها العيون. The companions started to cry. ووجلت منها القلوب. And the hearts fell fear. فقال قائل يا رسول الله. One of the brothers says, يا رسول الله كأن هذه موعظة مودع. This seems like the address or admonition of a person who's bidding farewell. فَمَاذَا تَحَدْ إِلَيْنَا So what advice do you give us? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ The first thing he said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. And taqwa we know, it means that you do whatever Allah commands and you stay from whatever He forbids. This was the command of the Prophet. This was his advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ And to hear and obey. وَإِن كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًا Even if your leader is an Abyssinian slave. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي This particular expression of Imam Ahmad, it says, Badi, after me. If you live long, after me. فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا You shall see a lot of differences. When this happens, what is the way out to success? He says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي When you see the differences, the way to success, the Prophet commands that you follow the successful way. Say that, adhere to my sunnah. When the people differ in how you should believe, how you should conduct yourself, what your manhaj is supposed to be, follow the sunnah. Leave the ways of the people, follow the text. Alaykum bi sunnati. Adhere to my sunnah. Wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiyin fatamassaku biha. The sunnah of the khulafa, the rightly guided khulafa, he says, fatamassaku biha. Yani, stick to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ And bite on it. Yani, just, you know, it's sufficient. You hold on. Could you imagine how serious it is if you're holding on and biting on to it? There must be something that you're not supposed to let go. Hold on to it. Bite on to it. Just don't let it go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ And he said that this particular uslub, this particular method of expression is for tahdhir, warning. Woe to you. Yani be aware, stay away from muhdathatul umur. The newly invented matters. The newly invented matters in religion. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالٍ Because every newly invented matter is an innovation and every innovation is a stray. This particular text that we find in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, also collected by Abi Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam points out the seriousness of innovations and the importance of staying away from them. And he emphasized it in more than one way. More than one way. That he commands, then with the emphasis he gives you an example of how it is to be held onto with your hands and your teeth. Then he warns you not to go the opposite way. Emphasis on top of emphasis for the purpose of leading the Muslims aright. Don't give off the sunnah. Don't give it up. We have some of the things of the companions, how they used to actually deal with innovations. One of the things that we find that they didn't do, they didn't let innovations go unchecked. Let me say that again. They did not let innovations go unchecked. When the Qadariyya came up, during the time of the Sahaba, Ibn Umar was around. Ibn Umar made it real clear that these people you were to have nothing to do with them. Says, if you see them, let them know. أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي I have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with me. We can't rub shoulders. The same thing when the Khawarij came. They didn't just keep quiet. and allow them to come in and just, you know, chill with the people. They're Muslims. Same thing with the Shia. Are we all brothers in faith? You know, they cool. Or any other group. The companions didn't do that. And look what Imam Ahmad said. He said, look, the foundations of the Sunnahs being like they were. Don't accept it. Don't allow it to exist in your midst without checking it. Because it's like a disease. It will destroy and it will fester, it will spread and catch on. I've seen in one of the massages that we had, they used to have some of the books coming from Iran. And their embassy used to send the books in the masjid. They made sure they got the addresses of the masajid. And they would send the books to the masjid. They would spend money to send the best books they could find in English to the community. And some of the brothers, not understanding the manhaj, one of the things is you don't read their books. We don't read their books. You don't gamble with your deen. Maybe, you know, I could take it, man. I could understand it. You don't do that. And so what they did, they started reading the books. Went against the manhaj, opened it up. Didn't have the foundation to deal with it. Even if you have the foundation to deal with it, be like Ibn Sirin. No, man, you gonna leave or I'm gonna leave. What they did, they opened it, started reading it, and seeing how what they do, they twist history. Some of the things that are popular, they highlight it. And see this? And they are trying to break down so to build what they want to build. Brothers started to read. Pretty soon the questions came, started to come. Brother, what you think about such and such? What you think about such and such? You know, I mean, you know, that makes sense, don't it? To this day, they are part of the Ithna Ashariya. To this day, they are part of the Ithna Ashariya, praying on stones. The protection then, you know, you don't allow it. You don't sit down and play dead when you see it. A way that the companions did with it, it was face down. Not allowed to come in your midst and just be. If the masjid is on the sunnah, it has to be on the sunnah the way the companions were on the sunnah. This is the successful way. If you open the door, it's very difficult to close. So you don't open it. Anas ibn Malik, he narrates the narration to Shaykh Nasir rahimahullah, authenticated in his Sahiha, the book, yani, it's known as Silsila Hadith al-Sahiha. This particular hadith is 1,620. And what it says is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ihtajaz at-tawbah an sahibi kulli bid'atin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually has placed a barrier between repentance and every person of innovation. Now, we're going to see what the Ahlul Ilm say about that in a few minutes, inshallah. But what this means is that, look, innovations are serious. And a person, if he believes that what he is doing is right, and that this is pleasing to Allah, he will not give it up. Ibn Kathir in his Bidayah wa Nihayah, when he deals with this period of the Khawarij, and their opposition to Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Sahaba. And he spoke about these people. One of the glaring things about them was that they were sincere. That they were sincere. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke about their outward acts of worship. that if the companions were to compare their acts of worship with them, it would be like nothing. In spite of that, he said, they're kilabunah. They're the dogs of hell. Ibn Abbas, when he went to their encampment, he said, I saw a people. He just came from the companions. Says, ما رأيت أحدا أشد عبادة منهم اجتهادا في العبادة. I went and I saw people. I haven't seen anybody who exerts himself more in worship than these people. He said, look, their hands were like the foots of the camels with callus on them. That's their hands from worship. Their faces had knots on it from constantly prostrating. This was their state. This is an indication simply because you see someone doing an act of worship where he may seem to be saintly that he's on the right aqid and his manhaj is correct. That's how people get deceived by the Sufis. You say he's always doing dhikr. I mean, doing the remembrance is good. It's good. This is what these people used to do. Their encampment at night used to sound like the humming of bees from people reciting the Quran and in tahajjud. That's how they were. Yet, when Ibn Abbas went to speak to them, the first thing he said to them, I am coming from you. I am coming to you from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alayhim nazal al wahi, wahu a'lamu nas bi ta'wilihi. I am coming to you from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Revelation came down during the time, and they have a better understanding of the text. He was teaching them. Look, you can't see. All those people were taught by Allah's Messenger, and all y'all on this side, can't you see something's wrong? All these people, man, taught by the master teacher who received revelation, you don't see none of them amongst you. Can't you see something wrong with that? This picture, there's something wrong with it. But he was teaching them the methodology. If you didn't know, man, you should ask these people who sat with the master teacher, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there was some misunderstanding. They didn't do that. But see, he was expressing the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out in the Quran and was re-emphasized in the Sunnah. It was re-emphasized. These people, Ibn Kathir, he says, mentions a narration. He says, then the battle after some of them repented after Ibn Abbas answered their questions or the shubuhat, the doubts that they had, a number of them, thousands of them actually, came over back and joined the companions. But a few of them were obstinate. They didn't turn back. When the fighting started, they believed. These boys fought like it was Jannah in front of them. One of the companions took his spear, his lance, and he threw it through one of them, and this person, it went through his front and came through his back. He held on to it. The companion said, "Ubashshuruka bin-nar." He says, "Lata'lamu ayyuna awla biha saliya." The Qawari says, "You will know which one of us deserves more the fire, me or you." Until his death, he thought he was right, willing to die for it. So that type of conviction, that type of conviction is very difficult to give up. And this is why when the Salaf said that bid'ah is dearer to Iblis than sin, is because a person who is on bid'ah don't feel that he's wrong. Sinful person, no man, you know, I'm kind of toe up, but I'll get it right later. Now, I'm a little bit off right now. You know me. Allah forgive me. I'll straighten up. A little weak now. But a person on innovation? No. I'm on the hop, man. Y'all wrong. So he's very unlikely to give it up. And this is what is intended by the text here. As long as he thinks he's right, why give it up? This is what the Khawarij will like. Shaykh Ibn Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was questioned about the meaning of there being a barrier between repentance and the people of innovation. What does this mean? What is the meaning of this text? He says, لا يوفق ولا ييسر صاحب بدعة لتوبة. That he is normally not given success and is not made easy for him to repent. Not made easy for him to repent. Because he thinks he's on the truth. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his fatawa, volume 10, page 9, for the brothers who have the fatawa, he says, what is the meaning of this statement? أَنَّ الْبِدْعَ لَا يُتَابُ مِنْهَا. That bid'ah, it's not, people don't repent from it. أَنَّ الْمُبْتَدِعَ الَّذِي يَتَّخِذُ دِينًا لَمْ يُشَرِّعْكُ اللَّهُ وَلَا رَسُولُهُ قَدْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَا يَتُوبُ مَا دَامَ يَرَاهُ حَسَنًا لأن أول توبة العلم بأن فعله سيء ليتوب منه. This particular statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, the Mubtadi, he takes this innovation as religion. That which Allah has not legislated, nor His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And his bad deeds have been made fair seeming to him. And as long as he sees it this way, he will not repent from it. As long as he considers his deeds to be good, he will not repent from it. He says, because the first step to Tawbah is having knowledge that your deeds are wrong. That's the first step to Tawbah. So that you may repent from it. أو بأنه ترك حسنا مأمورا به. Or that you gave up something that is good that you're commanded to do. Or amr ijab, or istihbab, or something that is compulsory or recommended, liyatul. So that he may repent. Says here, فَمَادَامَ يَرَى فِعْلَهُ حَسَنًا وَهُوَ سَيِّئ فِي نَفْسِ الْأَمْرِ فَإِنْهُ لَا يَتُوبُ. So as long as he considered his deeds as good and is actually wrong, he'll never repent. Never give it up. طيب. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he further explains this thing about repentance. And يعني how this works. And he mentions here that some of the group, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ طَائِفَ مِنَ السَّلَفِ مِنْهُمَ الثَّوْرِ يعني سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِ. For this reason some of the Salaf said, or used to say, البدعة حب إلى إبليس من المعصية. That bid'ah is dearer and more beloved to Iblis than just sin. It's dearer than sin. لأن المعصية يتاب منها والبدعة لا يتاب منها. Because sin, people repent from bid'ah. No. They believe they're right. He says, وهذا معنى ما روي عن طائفة أنهم قالوا إن الله حجر توبة على كل صاحب بدعة. And this is what is intended by the statement that Allah has placed a barrier or some prevention between Tawbah and the person on innovation. بمعنى أنه لا يتوب منها, meaning that he will not repent from it. لأنه يحسب أنه على هدى. And he considers, this is because he considers himself on guidance. وَلَوْ تَابَ لَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. And if he had repented, Allah would accept his repentance. If he had repented, Allah would accept his repentance. كَمَا يَتُوبَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِ. The same way he accepts the repentance of a kafir, the person who embraces Islam. وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنْهُ لَا يَقْبَلْ تَوْبَةَ مُبْتَدْعٍ مُطْلَقًا فَقَدْ غَلَقْ. And whoever thinks or believes that Allah doesn't accept the repentance of a mubtadi' has made a mistake. He says, غَلَقًا مُنْكَرًا, an extreme mistake. وَمَنْ قَالَ مَا أَذِنَ اللَّهُ لِصَاحِبِ بِدْعَةٍ فِي تَوْبَةٍ. And whoever says that Allah does not give any permission for the person of innovation to repent, فَمَعْنَاهُ مَا دَامَ مُبْتَدِعًا, what is intended as long as he is with his innovation, وَيَرَاهُ حَسَنًا, and he considers it good, لَا يَتُوبُ مِنْهَا, he will not give it up and repent from it. فَأَمَّا إِذَا أَرَاهُ اللَّهُ, إِذَا أَرَاهُ اللَّهُ أَنَّهَا قَبِيحًا, but if Allah blesses him and shows him that this is evil, فَإِنْهُ يُتُوبُ مِنْهَا, he will give it up and repent. كَمَا يَرَى الْكَافِرُ أَنْهُ عَلَى ضَلَالٍ, the same way a kafir sees and learns that he's on misguidance. وَإِلَّا فَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِمَّنْ كَانَ عَلَى بِدْعَةٍ, otherwise it is known that many people who were on innovations, he says, تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ ضَلَالُهَا وَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, it became clear to him his misguidance and Allah accepted his repentance. Okay, وَهَؤُلَاءِ لَا يُحْسِيهِمْ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and no one knows the amount of these people who did this except Allah. He says, وَالْخَوَارِجْ, like the Khawarij. When Ibn Abbas was sent to them and he discussed with them, half of them came back with Ali ibn Abi Talib repenting. It's an indication that it is possible for them to repent. But this is only if it is made clear to them and they understand that what you're doing is wrong, that this occurs. He says, and some of them also on the hand of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and others. Bid'ah. Ash-Shatibi, rahimahullah, he has an approach to this discussion of bid'ah that is very unique. He looks at this narration, which is collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. And this narration is from Abi Amir Abdullah ibn Luhay. Abi Amir, from Abi Amir Abdullah ibn Luhay. You brothers, look, if I see you nodding, I'm going to close it down, right? But it did like this, mashallah. Barakallahu feekum. He said, this is Abu Amr. He said, حَجَّجْنَا مَعَ مُعَاوِيَ, we've made hajj with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And when we came to Mecca, فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا مَكَّةَ قَامَ حِينَ صَلَّى صَلَاةَ الظُّهُرِ, he stood up after praying Salat al-Dhuhr. فَقَالَ, and then he said, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, surely the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن أهل الكتابين افترقوا في دينهم على 72 ملة. He says, surely the people of the book, the two books before you, were divided in their religion on 72 different religious groups. وإن هذه الأمة ستفترق على 73 ملة, and this ummah, this nation, shall be divided into 73 different religious groups. يعني الأهوار, those that follow their desires, not the manhaj, not the methodology laid by Allah or by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي الجماعة, all of them are in the fire except one, الجماعة. And we have seen that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained who the جماعة was, right? The companions along with him. That's the جماعة. And whoever follows them is included in that promise. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, look, after mentioning those groups, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned another characteristic or set of characteristics that will be more extreme amongst those people. He said, وَإِنَّهُ سَيَخْرُجُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ تَجَارَى بِهِمْ تِلْكَ الْأَهْوَى كَمَا يَتَجَارَى الْكَلَبُ بِصَاحِبِهِ لَا يَبْقَى مِنْهُ عِرْقٌ وَلَا مَفْصِلٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَهُ. This particular narration says, there shall come in this ummah, or shall come out in this ummah, a group of people that will be driven by desires, meaning their whole deen is nothing but innovation. It will be all over them. The same way a person is affected by rabies. It goes all in your bloodstream, all in your head, your toes, your feet, your limbs, everything. It says it will not leave any vein or any joint untouched, except that it enters it. Ash-Shatibi, rahimahullah, when he deals with this text, he said the Prophet ﷺ pointed out the first group. But he didn't describe them in this way. He said this group of individuals who have been so immersed, so covered up in innovation, that it's affected their minds and everything, that these are the group of people that probably will not repent and not give it up. Because it's in everything about them. Whereas the first group, this type of emphasis was not presented. So the more involved a person is, the more dangerous it becomes. Is that the event? Hey. Inshallah, I think, Annie, we're going to stop right here. We had y'all manned from before Maghrib anyway. So, until tomorrow, inshallah, barakallahu feekum. They think the same time, huh?
Yeah, same time.
Yeah. They think the same program is for tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, wa shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Keep trying to open it up again, barakallahu feekum. Yeah. That's all right, I'm going to keep it, inshallah. Ubashirukum astamsik bihadhi ila al-ghad, barakallahu fiqh. Okay, one of the questions presented here. Is it in... I'm going to read the question, right? Is it lawful for a person who wants to follow the manhaj of the Salaf to take knowledge from the books of people of innovation? The likes of Muhammad al-Busayri, al-Qurbawi, al-Ghazali, al-Turabi, and others who are well known like them, whose manhaj is known to be incorrect. In respect to the issues of manhaj, the Prophet ﷺ pointed out that the people will be divided. And he said one will be successful. Those people that will not be successful, they're going to have scholars. They will have people to teach them their ways. Just like the people on the Sunnah will have scholars to teach them the correct ways. Do you think that someone who is teaching his way is going to teach you the Sunnah if the Sunnah is in opposition to his way? It's not going to do that. So we should not go to those individuals for guidance and direction in these areas at all. As a matter of fact, One of the methodologies of the Sunnah is that you don't read their books. Let me say that again. You do not read their books. Let me say that again. You do not read their books. What goes into your head enters your heart and changes your whole lifestyle. That's why Ibn Sirin said, no, I don't even want to hear one word of it. He was reciting the Quran, wanted to recite the Quran or Hadith, and he says, no. You going to leave or I'm going to leave? Companion's student says, yeah, but what harm could it have done you if he just recited a verse of the Quran to you? He said, I was afraid of him reciting it, twisting the meaning, and that twisting of the meaning remains in my heart. Cannot get rid of it. So I'm not going to open the door to that by listening or reading the text. Get away. That's what Imam Malik used to say. Person come, one dispute. Malik said, man, look, I know my religion. If you want to dispute, go with someone else who's doubtful like you and you dispute with him. I know the man that's here. Subhanaka wa hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.